And we said we hated the slate.
Last night was a good slate.
It was. We didn't like it when we were talking about it.
I don't know what you mean. I liked it the entire time.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, I'm glad
there's,
that you did.
There's no record of that.
There is, actually.
Nope.
There's a podcast from yesterday.
Nope.
And I think somebody listened to it.
Maybe.
I know someone listened to it because someone actually talked to us on Twitter.
Played my lineup.
Yes. How do you feel about that?
Risky decision. But it worked out last night. Last night was a pretty good night.
Yes.
There was a point last night. Mm-hmm. I don't have NBA TV, but I do have a league pass in my bedroom. So I was watching the Lakers-Nets game rather than the Hawks-Warriors game, which was the more entertaining, interesting game. And I had Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green all going in that game. And so, you know, there was a point last night where I'm like, man, this could be like a really good night. It was a pretty good night. But there was like a window where I was like, man, things could get really good in the Towers house. And then it was kind of a little frustrating the end of that
game. See, and that, again, is why we always try to manage expectations. If you'd gone into the night thinking, I'm probably going to lose money, and then you won whatever you won last night, you'd feel fine about it.
Yeah.
But you got excited. You started being optimistic. That never ends well.
Never be optimistic, I think, is a good... It's just a good life rule for DFS and for your normal life.
We did get an interesting question on Twitter today. And I liked it.
Okay.
It was from...
You like it on Twitter?
No.
Or you just liked it?
I actually quote tweeted it.
Okay.
And said, we will address this on the podcast.
All right.
I'm not sure if you were paying attention, so I don't know if you know what question it is.
No.
Michael Lloyd...
Okay.
Says, if you were going to create a grading scale for NBA DFS value,
how
would it look? And the example he uses, a 5.0 would be an A, 4.9 to 4.0 would be a B, etc. That's not the grade scale we would use.
No, because 5.0 is what you're aiming for.
Right.
Five's a B.
There's a couple of problems with this whole method.
That I was a C student in high school.
No, that's not it.
And that a B was basically an A for me.
I knew that was going to come up. That's not what it is. My problem is NBA DFS is graded on a curve.
Yeah.
A player's price matters a lot.
Yeah.
For D'Angelo Williams tonight at 5,300.
Russell.
Yes. D'Angelo Williams.
I wasn't sure if you meant Darren Williams or D'Angelo Russell.
Yes, for D'Angelo Russell. 5x value is probably a C- tonight.
Yeah.
If he scores 26.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Especially with what his ownership's going to be.
Yeah.
So, that makes it more difficult, but I still think we should make a run at this.
Okay. All 300 players that are available tonight?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Is that a separate scale for all of them?
There are 321 players in the player pool.
We don't need a separate scale for all of them.
Okay.
If you are below 5,000,
yep.
Then an A for me, it would be the 6 to 7.
6 plus.
6 plus is an A. Because there is no 100%. A B, I'm going to say...
There's no theoretical... There's no upper limit to how much you could score.
A B is 5.5 to 6.
Okay.
Are you with me on that?
Sure.
Like a $3,500 player, if he gets 20, is that a B?
Yeah, that's a solid game.
Okay. So a C is 5 to 5.5?
Sure.
And a D is 4.5 to 5?
Yeah, I mean, if it... At that point, if you're at $4,000 and you score 16 points, like that's useless, basically.
So 4.5 is a D minus.
Yep.
Anything below 4.5, you fail.
Yeah.
Now
it's easier with more expensive players.
For a regular player, I'm going to say an A is 5.5 plus.
Yeah.
And then we'd probably say a B is 5 to 5.5.
Yeah. And then for a star, you can probably say. Like a $10,000 player, 5 is probably an A.
Yeah.
Like if you get 55 out of Russell Westbrook, that's probably going to put you, you know.
That's an A minus. Yeah. Okay. So I think we've pretty much defined it.
Okay.
You can put that in the record books.
There you go.
I don't know if it'd go in the record books, but the rule book.
Sure. The rule book.
Are you ready for some top fives?
Let's do that.
I'm a point chaser.
So D'Angelo Russell is your number one?
D'Angelo Russell is my number one point guard. Number two is my...
I mean, is there really... What would even be the case against D'Angelo Russell at this point? Could you build one if you were trying to?
Ownership. Okay. Byron Scott.
Okay. I think the latter one... You could also throw in Kobe Bryant because he's likely to come back tonight from his two-game absence with a shoulder injury. It's not necessarily a bad thing for D'Angelo Russell, but it is certainly a wild card.
But it changes. Also the, missing Lou Williams, right?
Yeah, Lou Williams is probably, I think he's doubtful.
Out. Ruled
okay,
out.
Okay, ruled out. So,
until they decide he's doubtful.
So you've got, not necessarily that Kobe Bryant hurts him. He could help him. He did have 22 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds in Kobe's last game, but it's a complicating factor.
Right.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's also, you know, it certainly changes the predictability of his game.
I got Mike Conley second, which is also chalky.
Okay.
And then I think I go away from the chalk a little bit. Manuel Moutier third.
All right.
As Isaiah Thomas fourth.
Okay.
Damian Lillard fifth.
All right, I think those make a certain amount of sense.
Go ahead and ask me about Kemba.
Well, I'm not 100% sure why Moutier makes the top five.
Well,
the matchup.
The matchup is outstanding.
Yes.
His minutes have been fairly reliable. He's only been below 30 twice in, the last 15 games? 12
yeah.
games? That's it.
you know, think about that grading scale question.
Uh-huh.
Him and D'Angelo Russell are only 100, and this gets to why that gets a little complicated, is they're only $100 apart, but 6x value from D'Angelo Russell or 5x value from Emmanuel Moutier, you probably view those somewhat the same.
I need 6x out of Moutier.
You need 6x out of Moutier.
Well, I need 30. That's not quite 6x.
Okay.
And he hasn't done that for 5-6 games.
Okay.
But he had a nice little stretch of doing that beforehand.
But with Russell, you're probably hoping 35 is probably what you want from Russell.
That's what I hope for, yes.
Okay.
Plus, Moutier's ownership is going to be a lot lower.
Yeah.
A guy that's right in the same price range, and this is going to start kind of a theme. He did not make my top five, Tony Parker.
Okay.
5,300. Right. I think he has to at least be considered. Ricky Rubio, I did not put in my FanDuel top five.
I was thinking about Ricky Rubio.
But he is definitely in my DraftKings top five.
I was thinking about Elfrid Payton. The Bulls are 28th in the league in fantasy points allowed to point guards. Now, Elfrid Payton is someone that is almost untouchable in cash games because you don't know if he's going to play 24
Scott
minutes
Stiles.
Or 35.
Ugh.
But it's a really good matchup, and he is someone that does have that 35-point potential.
Okay.
Another guy in that range. I think Marcus Smart in that same range at 5,100 probably doesn't have as much potential as those guys, but worth a look.
Okay. What about Kyle Lowry?
Okay. The Jazz aren't as good against point guards as they are against every other position. If you break
right.
it down by the five starting positions, they are top five against every other position, so point guard is the one that stands out. They are eighth against point guards. It's not like they're bad. If any other
68 fantasy points in his last game.
Yeah, I don't think you want to chase Kyle Lowry. I mean, look, Kyle Lowry is the kind of player that could absolutely have 45 fantasy points tonight, but against Utah, I don't think you can bet on that.
Okay.
And it's there's too much that can go wrong there.
Who's the chalkiest play at shooting guard tonight?
Will Barton.
It's Will Barton. He is also my number one shooting guard. I've got James Harden second.
Okay.
Nicholas Batum third. Andrew Wiggins fourth. And I wanted to put Wiggins higher.
I like the Wiggins one.
And
the Wizards are bad against both shooting guards and small forwards.
And that's why Zach LaVine is fifth.
Yeah. Is this one of the LaVine starts games or
I'm
is this
sure.
one of the Tayshaun starts games? It doesn't matter.
He's going to play 30-plus minutes.
Yeah, he's playing 30-plus minutes now. I think he finished February above 30 minutes per game, so I don't think you're worried about him.
I didn't put Chris Middleton in my top five. He's almost $8,000 now.
He's good.
He is.
He's like, the. I mean, he's the.
The Bucks are the best bad team ever.
The third member of the Big Three in Milwaukee.
It's amazing for me to look at the standings.
Yeah.
And see how bad they are.
They're pretty bad.
Because Greg Monroe's not bad.
He's fine.
They just have no point guard.
Yeah.
And they just had one.
They traded for a point guard and do not have a point guard. Eric Gordon wasn't in your top five, was he?
He was not. I saw somebody on Twitter sent me a couple of lineups with him.
I think he should be.
Sell that to me.
Going against Houston.
That's a good matchup.
We don't have a... I think he's only played, what, two games since coming back from the injury? He was very good in that game. and I think he played pretty big minutes.
33.
So it's not a situation... I mean, he had a hand injury, so it's not a situation
but
where
you're...
Did
he play 33 minutes because he shot so well?
Who else is going to play? Is Bryce DeJean-Jones still on the roster?
I think he's out for the year.
Yeah, he's out for the year. That's right. He had a back injury or something.
Drew, Norris Cole.
There's not a lot of competition for minutes there. So I think he's someone that you can look at and say he's probably going to play 30 minutes.
Better than Avery Bradley?
I think so. I think he has more upside than Avery Bradley.
Okay. Moving on to is there anybody at shooting guard? I did have Middleton in my DraftKings lineup because he's only 7,400.
Two guys we haven't mentioned yet at point guard and shooting guard for good reason, but they're big enough names that they should be mentioned. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
I mentioned Damian Lillard. He was on my number five point guard.
He was your number five point guard against Boston.
Yeah.
That
I don't really care about matchups with Damian Lillard.
Yeah, see, like, I get that.
Wait, let me change that. I don't care about matchups that are position specific with Damian Lillard. If it's the Spurs or the Jazz,
well,
I care.
The Celtics are a pretty good defense.
They are a pretty good defense rate wise. They are not a very good defense total points wise.
Well, they are against perimeter players. I believe they're top seven against point guards, shooting guards, and small forwards. Now you have some, you know, small forwards who play power forward, but
they're not good at all against small forwards.
That doesn't count against like Damian Lillard. Lillard is a point guard. He's going to be hounded by, you know, Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder for most of the game. I'm not saying Damian Lillard can't have a good game.
Right. You'd rather play Lowry than Lillard.
But if you have to spend, I would rather not play either one of them.
Okay.
Is my
position. You'd also rather not listen to me when I tell you my top five are. At small forward.
Yeah. Nicholas Batum at 6,200 was in your top five, but I wanted to say it again. I just wanted to make sure everybody heard it.
Like, as a shtick, this might be getting old.
It's not shtick. It's not shtick.
Okay.
It's just blatant incompetence.
Who's the chalkiest small forward?
Whew. Probably Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes is my number one small forward.
That makes sense.
I've got Paul George second.
Okay.
Kevin Durant third.
All right.
Omri Caspi fourth, of course.
Rudy Gay is doubtful.
And Trevor Ariza fifth.
Rudy Gay is doubtful, but
that means
Sacramento,
nothing.
That might not mean anything.
No.
Who is your number five?
Trevor Ariza.
So no Giannis in your top five.
Nope.
Interesting.
He's 8,400.
So you're okay with chasing points with Damian Lillard and Kyle Lowry?
It's not chasing. Kyle Lowry's not in my top five.
But you made a case for him.
I was asking about him. I said, what about Kyle Lowry?
But you are definitely chasing points with Damian Lillard.
No, Damian Lillard is a $9,300 player.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Like, he has been all year.
Okay.
I'm not saying for sure. Like, I think Giannis is really interesting. Because I feel like you and a majority of people had some serious questions coming into this year about whether Giannis could ever really live up to the hype.
Yeah.
That he's, and
well, for me, it's not could ever. This season, I didn't think he would live up to the hype.
But you don't think that he has a whole lot of growth left to do, do you?
Oh, like, sure I do.
You don't think he is what he is?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I've ever said that.
I just thought that was generally your view on players that have been in the league a couple years.
No, because he's so young. Like, to a certain point...
Like, what about Andrew Wiggins?
I would say we tend to project more on players...
Right.
than they've shown. So, like, with Andrew Wiggins.
Which is kind of what you do with young players.
Andrew Wiggins hasn't shown the ability to create.
Right.
But I think we give him the benefit of the doubt that he will get there someday. And I think that's a, it's a less likely proposition. I guess the way to say it is, we tend to overstate the likelihood of players making unexpected jumps. However, when a player starts showing the ability to make those jumps,
okay,
I think you do have to start putting some stock into that. And Giannis, it's a very small sample size. However, he's up to 45-plus fantasy points per game since the All-Star break, and kind of an arbitrary endpoint, but not really. You know, the All-Star break can serve as a useful endpoint if teams make rotational changes, and I think the Bucks are one of those teams.
Oh, they'll make rotational changes tomorrow, probably.
Maybe, but they seem to have found something that has worked. And him, Jabari, and Chris Middleton, they seem to be working, they seem to be flourishing, they seem to be growing together. It's a small sample size. If Giannis goes out and has 9 points and 2 rebounds tonight, it wouldn't shock me.
Okay. I'm done wagging my finger at you over dismissing Giannis's potential.
Okay.
Who else at small forward besides the point chasey? He's the point chasey, get it? Because we're the point chasers.
I don't think I like small forward very much tonight.
That's kind of the point.
You know, you could maybe talk me into Robert Covington as an option.
Yeah.
Jakar Sampson at 3,500 is a guy that's probably going to get 30-plus minutes, and he had 10 fantasy points in his most recent game, but, you know, we talked about it before the show. If you're an NBA player and you get 30 minutes, it's pretty hard not to luck into 20 fantasy
points. You still haven't said my favorite player under 5,000 at small forward.
Huh. Mario Hezonja.
Nope. Nope.
Vince Carter.
Nope.
Kyle Anderson.
You always scoff at me when I say this guy's name.
Al Farouk Aminu.
No. You don't.
All right, I have no idea.
Shabazz Muhammad.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Washington.
It's a decent matchup. His minutes are not super consistent.
Right.
But he's a streaky player who could go off for, you know, 25 fantasy points.
Who's the chalk play at power forward? I think there's two.
You think there are two? I don't think I can get either. Bobby Portis?
I thought it was Zebo.
Okay.
Who is my number one power forward.
Okay.
And Jabari Parker.
Jabari is definitely a chalk play.
And he's fourth.
I've
got Anthony Davis second, Aaron Gordon third, and Miles Turner fifth.
Okay.
Are you going to ask me why I'm point chasing with Jabari Parker and not with Giannis?
Yes and no. I mean, the price difference is the biggest thing.
Right.
Jabari's price hasn't risen nearly as fast as his production would entail. He's averaging, you know, he's actually third on the Bucks in assists since the All-Star break, which is kind of amazing.
Right.
He's averaging 8 rebounds, 17.2 points per game. And it's not really like this situation where he's shooting 65% from the field or something so unsustainable that it's just he's getting more shots, he's getting to the free throw line more. It's somewhat sustainable.
I did put Giannis in my top five on DraftKings,
okay,
where he's only 7,900.
Okay.
And no Parker because he's 6,700. So the difference between Giannis and Parker on DraftKings is $1,200.
That's weird because you would think Jabari or Giannis's price would go up faster on DraftKings with
right,
the fact that he has, what, two triple-doubles in his last three games?
And he does things that are...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the difference is $2,400 on FanDuel, no thank you. $1,200 on DraftKings, yeah, I'll take Giannis.
That makes a lot of sense.
Aaron Gordon third, Miles Turner fifth.
I think Aaron Gordon's a good pick. I hope Bobby Portis is your favorite under 5,000. Taj Gibson's doubtful.
Right.
Bobby Portis seems extremely likely to get 30-plus minutes.
I do have him as my top power forward under 5,000.
Okay. I also think Julius Randle at $6,000 is a good play against Denver.
Larry Nance is out.
Yeah, Larry Nance is out. Second out of a back-to-back. That's going to be a pretty normal thing. And I think that's an... We have the Cavaliers today said that they're going to start looking at strategically resting LeBron, Love, Kyrie, J.R. Smith, starting in March. Him, LeBron and Tyronn Lue are going to start talking to each other about LeBron's rest plan. And so that's something to keep in mind, is that that's not going to be reflected in the other players' prices on the second night of a back-to-back if right. the other guys are sitting. So keep an eye on that.
Will the Raptors allow them to do that?
I don't think they're a lock for the number one seed.
Do they care, you think?
I don't think so.
Like, I don't think they want to go to Toronto in the playoffs.
They're projecting a lot of mixed signals, because LeBron clearly has said explicitly, I don't care what our seed is.
Right.
But then, like, he keeps talking about, like, sending explicit signals about how unprepared the team is and how they're not mentally ready or mentally tough and all that. And it's just like, you got to pick a side, man.
Yeah.
Like, it can't all be fine and it can't all be a mess.
Well, he doesn't care what seed they are, but he wants them to be ready and tough.
I guess.
Any chance you're using Anthony Davis on FanDuel tonight?
No.
His toe hurts.
Game time decision, dealing with a sprained toe that he hurt during pregame warmups the other day.
This does not get old. It really doesn't.
It is frustrating. Ryan Anderson should be definitely on your radar in DraftKings. And if you're playing a bunch of tournaments, both Ryan Anderson and Anthony Davis have huge potential tonight against Houston if you want to throw one into a lineup.
Speaking of Houston, I have Dwight Howard, number one, at the center position.
I like that.
Boogie, number two.
I like that.
Vooch, third.
Okay. I like that.
Cat, fourth.
Okay.
And Greg Monroe, fifth.
Greg Monroe, fifth. Okay.
Monroe's price is crashing.
$7,400. Yeah, it's a pretty good matchup for Monroe. I don't know how much I like that, though.
Do you like DeAndre Jordan better?
I probably would rather have DeAndre Jordan. If I'm going cheaper, I think I'd rather play Nikola Jokic against the Lakers in a tournament, just because he does have upside at that price. I know he's tough and fair to say impossible to predict minutes for.
I don't understand at all
why his minutes are so fluctuating.
It's not just foul trouble.
No.
Like, he gets in foul trouble and they just say, okay, you're not playing the rest of the game?
It's a situation where I think they have Nikola Jokic is really good, but he's not that much better than Joffrey LaVerne. Like, he's better, but Joffrey LaVerne's a pretty solid player himself.
Yeah. I mean, if we looked at their per 36s, it's ridiculous, I'm sure.
But Joffrey's numbers are really good. So you have, you know, they can play Kenneth Faried at center. They have enough options, and I think that'll be something that they do less with Gallinari out. So that could, Gallinari out might actually increase Jokic's minutes. But it's a great matchup for him against the Lakers. It could work out really well. Would not touch him in cash games.
His O rating is 117.
Yeah, he's really good. He's been great this season.
Man, I wish he played more. Okay, let's talk about another cheap center. Two of them, actually.
Okay.
Al Jeff finally had a good game in only 19 minutes against the Suns. Now he gets a great matchup against the 76ers. Yep. I have no interest. None. I don't want to play.
Second out of a back-to-back, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no guarantee he's even going to play. and I would guess there's not a chance he goes over 20 minutes.
He only played 19 last night.
Yeah, I would guess that's his ceiling.
Okay. So, who I do like that I think might be overlooked a little bit is Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Bad matchup.
Yeah.
But this is, we're talking $5,200. On DraftKings, we're talking $4,800.
Well,
Tim Duncan.
Has he even been worth that much?
He only had 22 in his last game, but 31 in the game before that. I think you need...
The two previous games, he played 17 and 12 minutes.
What you need are two things. The 17 and 12 minutes don't worry.
They're blowout games.
Right. He's playing a competitive team with a monster center.
Yep.
I don't remember how competitive that game against Houston was. But I think the thing that makes me like him the most is he hasn't played in like 4 days.
Yeah.
So he's well rested. I think he's a fine tournament option.
Okay, that makes sense. At 5,200 on FanDuel and even more at 4,800 on DraftKings, I think that makes sense. There's certainly an argument to be made for him.
Thank you.
What about Aaron Baines' revenge game?
No. Nope, nope, nope. Do you have a lineup?
I do have a lineup.
Is it a 360 lineup? It didn't get 360 last night.
Might be a 330 lineup.
Yeah?
I don't think we mentioned my first point guard at all.
I bet he was in my top five.
Maybe. Read me your top five again.
No. Who is your point guard?
Russell Westbrook?
No.
Was not. We have not mentioned him at all today.
No.
Decent matchup against the Clippers. They're okay
right.
against point guards. They're actually pretty good defensively. They're mm-hmm. top 10 in defensive rating, but they do play at a high pace. Probably not in a space where you can say he's a lock for 55 points, which you need at 11,000, but I feel pretty comfortable saying he'll get 50.
Okay.
And I'm pairing him with D'Angelo Russell. I'm going with D'Angelo Russell Westbrook. At shooting guard, I'm going pretty chalky. I'm going with the rhyming combination of Will Barton and James Harden. Kind of rhymes, right? Jakarr Sampson and Matt Barnes are my small forwards.
Okay.
I'm going with Bobby Portis and Markieff Morris.
Yes, that's somebody forward. We haven't talked about.
Markieff Morris. Yes. Coming off a really good, solid game.
Not solid, spectacular.
19-10, yeah. I believe. Filled up the box score nicely. Got into the starting lineup. Played 30-plus minutes.
I just hate the Spurs. Like, I don't hate the Spurs. I hate them as a matchup.
It's not the Spurs. You said Marcus. I said Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris.
I made that same mistake earlier on Twitter. There I just go. Realized somebody asked me about Markieff Morris,
yeah.
and I said I generally try to avoid the Spurs.
Yep. Nope, he's going up against Minnesota, which is I don't think it's a great or a bad matchup against the Timberwolves. Markieff Morris coming off a solid game.
Yes.
I think it was close to 40 points.
Yeah.
It was,
that's a good one that we did not mention.
At 5,400, I think he's probably someone that you can project for 28 points with ceiling, especially obviously he's impossible to predict,
right?
Because
he can get thrown out in the first 60 seconds
and his play fluctuates wildly. He might shoot 3 for 9.
Right. Teen,
sure. I mean, if he takes 19 shots, I'm feeling okay about playing because then he probably played like 35 minutes to get 19 shots. So I like that. And then Dwight Howard as my center,
okay. I like it. Yep. It's not a 360-point lineup.
It could be.
I feel like it's probably closer to 290.
We'll see.
Okay. I'll give you my DraftKings lineup.
Okay.
I think you'll like it more. D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
Will Barton.
Yep.
Trevor Ariza.
Okay.
Julius Randle. Dwight Howard. Manuel Mudiay. Zebo. And another guy we haven't talked about, Jared Solinger.
I think I like Solinger. I think he's a decent play.
That's not encouraging.
I mean,
like you brought up Markieff Morris 30 minutes into the podcast. We hadn't talked to him at all. I congratulated you. I said, good job. That's a great play. I bring up Jared. So, yeah.
I mean, you don't mention someone 28 minutes in. It's not a great play. It's a solid play. Fine play.
So, Markieff Morris is not a great play. a couple of real quick cheap guys. Jordan Hill or Jan Mahimi? Because that's a great matchup.
If you could guarantee me their minutes would be the same, I would probably go Jordan Hill. Okay. And I think I would still go Jordan Hill.
Hill has played more minutes lately.
Yep.
I think that'll do it.
Okay.
Good luck with your 360-point lineup.
I hope you get
some more love letters on Twitter.
Sure. Yeah, me too. Send me your love. I have low self-esteem, and I always need encouragement.
Goodbye.
Bye.